Welcome back to another episode of Into the Airbnb, where we talk with Airbnb hosts about their short-term rental experience. Today's guest is Emily Groves, based in San Margaret, Spain, United Kingdom, who owns and manages two beautiful caravans located in a resort park where guests can enjoy amenities like pool, sauna, and gym. In today's episode, she'll share with us about her experience with these listings, the numbers she's been making with them, how it is like renting on a resort RV park, and the importance of bringing awareness to guests by having a plant-based kitchen. This episode is sponsored by Airbitics, short-term rental analytics for high return investments. Comprehensive data for insights, ideas, and inspiration. Go to app.airbitics.com to find precise Airbnb data such as occupancy rate, revenue, average daily rate, and so on. So, without further ado, let's get into it. So, can you please tell us how did you got started with Airbnb or short-term rentals in general?
Last year, I was moving house and I was thinking about how it might be easier to do that. So I bought a caravan by the sea near to where I was moving to, so that if I needed to, I could sell the house, move into the caravan and then move into the new house. And there would be some room, you know, to do that. With a view that once that was all over, I could rent out the caravan and make some money. So I did that. So in March, we put it on Airbnb. And then since then, I've recently bought another caravan. So now I've got two caravans on that site.
I see. I was taking a look at your listing and you have two listings, right? So those are the two caravans, right? And can you please tell us where are they located? Because I saw that you have like a community pool or something. I think I saw some resort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a holiday park. The park themselves rent out caravans, but most of the caravans on that park owned by private owners. So the company that owned the park also rent out, I don't really know the number, but they rent out a number of vans as well. Other people on the park use Airbnb as well, I think. There are also kind of chalet bungalows on that park too, not just caravans.
So you bought those caravans and put it there, or do you rent it out from the place, like the resort?
So I bought them from the resort. They weren't on site when I bought them, but the park put them in there, you know, in the places that I chose. So, you know, they said to me, these are the available spots that you can have. And so I chose two spots very close to each other for my caravans.
And is that place very popular with Airbnbs and short-term rentals in general?
I think there's probably, I'm trying to think, there's probably 300 or so caravans on that site, but maybe only that I know of, maybe about, I don't know, 7 to 10 of them are on Airbnb. If that, I'm not sure of the number exactly, but the ones that I've noticed that are on Airbnb, not very many.
Okay, but most of them are also short-term rentals, right?
No, I think people buy them because they want to use them as a holiday home themselves. Oh. So they live far away and they use it to go on holiday with their family. It's like a, you know, like a home from home.
I see. That's interesting. And is it easier, the process to buy those caravans than to buy, like, for example, a holiday house?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So you don't have to pay any of the tax. So when you buy a house in the UK, you have to buy, you know, you have to pay stamp duty, it's called. So you don't have to pay stamp duty when you buy a caravan. You do have to rent the spot at the park. So you have to pay an annual fee to the park for your spot, but you own the caravan. So, you know, if you want to move it somewhere else, you can move it to another park if you want to, because it's your caravan, but you just have to pay a kind of rental for the space on the park. And at this particular park, that rental space includes free entry to the pool for you and 10 of your friends or family. And you get a discount in the bar and the restaurant, and you get free access to the gym, and you get various, I think maybe 6 or 8 times a year, they put on a breakfast for the owners. They have lots of kind of evening entertainment as well that they put on for the owners, which is all free of charge. So you get quite a lot for your, you know, if you want to do all of that, you can make the most of your site fees.
And are these benefits also available for your guests from Airbnb?
They can be, yes. So what I do for my guests is I can buy a pass for them. So while they're staying in my caravan, they've got access to the swimming pool and the restaurant and the bar and the gym. And there's evening entertainment as well for them. So I generally buy them a pass, but on occasion, if I'm feeling generous, I might give them one of my passes, because I've got lots of passes, because I've got 2 caravans, I've got 20 passes free. So I, you know, as a special deal, I can give one of those to a holiday maker or a guest.
And those passes that you have, the 20 passes that you have, just can be used like one time by one person, or you can give it to this guest and then this guest leave the pass and you can give it to another guest. How does it work?
So the pass, the 20 passes, they're supposed to be, you give them to a named person and that named person can use them for the whole year. With the passes that you buy, you know, the one-off passes that you buy, mm-hmm. quite a good deal, because you pay one price and it's not very expensive. And then it doesn't matter how long that person stays in the caravan. If they stay for 2 days or if they stay for 3 weeks, it's still one price. So it then gives them access to the swimming pool and the entertainment and the gym. So that's it's good if you're staying a long time.
Yeah, that's great. And can be only used by one person, right?
Yeah. So you buy, you know, if you've got 4 people staying and they all want to use the facilities, then you buy 4 passes.
Okay, I see how it works. And can you tell me a little bit about what's the process like to buy the caravan, and how much is the annual fee you're paying for this space in the park?
So I saw the caravan advertised online and I went down to the park and they showed me around, and then they take a deposit from you, which is normally like £500. And then you can go back another day and actually pay the full amount and take ownership of the caravan. And the park then give you like a welcome pack to go with your caravan, which includes everything that you need to get set up in your caravan. So they give you all of the cups and plates and cutlery, ironing boards, irons, microwaves, kettles, pots and pans, oven trays, you know, everything that you could possibly need. So it's good for Airbnb owners because they don't need to go out and buy all that stuff. It comes kind of free with a caravan. Obviously, you're paying for it, but they go out and buy it all. And it's all there when you go and get your caravan. So it takes maybe 2 weeks for them to get the caravan sorted. They have to put it on the site. They have to connect up the water and the electric and the gas. They clean the caravan inside and out. And they give you all of these welcome pack that they give you. And then the site fees are quite expensive at this site. It depends on the site. So there's another site that's nearer to my house, but there's no facilities there. The site fees are like £2,000 a year. The site fees at this one, where there's lots of facilities, are more like £6,500 a year. So I obviously have to make more than that, and more than my electric and gas fee and everything, in order to make a profit from Airbnb.
Oh, I see. And I have many questions from this one. So the electrical and water connection comes with deposit or the annual fee, or do you have to pay separate for that?
You have to pay separately for that. So you pay for what you use, or you pay for what your guests use, obviously.
Okay, I see. And what about the caravan? When you buy it, it's already all furnished, or do you have to renovate it, furnish it? How does it work?
It's furnished, because with caravans, everything's built in. Everything from, you know, the sofas and everything are all kind of like part of the caravan. And then, you know, it comes with everything. beds and tables and chairs and
Okay, that's great. So you don't have to spend too much on furnishing. And I've seen you started on March this year, right?
Yeah.
So far, how has been going?
I've pretty much been fully booked in that caravan until the end of August.
Wow, that's great. And can you tell us a little bit about how has been your revenue in these past 2 months?
The past couple of months have actually been my best 2 months, actually. I brought that up just now. So I've probably made about £3,000. It's not very, I don't rent it for very much, but in April and May, it's about £3,000 I've made. Well, I've got from Airbnb.
Oh, £3,000 all together or every month? Yeah.
No, £3,000 in total for April and May. So £1,500 for April. Well, it was £1,200 for April and £1,800 for May.
Okay, those are really great numbers. And how much is your daily rate for those spaces?
It's somewhere between 40 and 60, just depending on what I feel like. I started off at 40 because I wanted people to rent it, and it was very cheap and it worked because a lot of people booked. And because it's the summer now, I've put the rate up because I know lots of people want to go on their summer holidays. So it's more like 55, 60 at the moment for July and August.
And I know there is not much competition around your area, but what did you based on to put the price?
I did look at what other people were renting out their caravans at, and that particular caravan, the first one, you know, it's quite an old caravan. It's very spacious, you know, for that sort of caravan. It's actually quite roomy and spacious, but it is old. It doesn't have central heating. It doesn't have double glazing. So at the time, I just thought, well, it'd be really good if I made back my site fees. That's all I was really planning to do. So that's how I kind of based my daily rate.
Okay, makes a lot of sense. So I was about to ask you about, do you charge extra if your guests want to use these passes you told me about?
Yeah, I charge them what I pay. So I do get a discount on the passes, but it's only 10%. The passes are roughly £10 per adult and £8 per child, which is what I charge them. But when I buy them myself, I get a 10% discount. But they have the option. I say when people book, they can go and buy the passes themselves at reception, or they can have the passes waiting for them in the caravan when they arrive. So,
okay, makes a lot of sense. And have you done short-term rentals before, like in a house or something, or this is your first time?
This is the first one.
Okay. And what do you think are the benefits of doing the rentals in this caravan instead of, you know, a house we own or maybe a subleased place?
They're separate from you, I suppose. You know, that you don't have to worry about having strangers in your house. The good thing about it being on a holiday park is that the holiday park have security and they have staff there. So I've never had to call on them, but if I wanted to, they have a key and they, you know, and the security are there and I can call them anytime I want to if I'm worried, and they will go and check things out for me. But yeah, I've never had to do that so far. So yeah, it's not really something I need to worry about, but it's a very friendly park and the staff there are very friendly and helpful. And so it's nice to have that separation from you and your guests, but also know that the people on the park are helpful and they will help you. If you're not able to get to the caravan if you need to, that somebody would help you and they would go there for you.
I see, it brings many benefits. And do the park charges you a little bit more if they have to help your guests in case there is any inconvenience?
They don't. The park will charge. So say it depends what it was. If there was a leak or something was broken, the park would go in and fix it, and then they would charge me a fee for that. But if it was just that, you know, somebody needed some help, you know, maybe they were struggling to open the door or something, then they wouldn't charge me for that.
I see. It makes a lot of sense. And I would like to ask you about, how much did it cost you to buy the caravans?
That first caravan I bought, because it was old, cost me £25,000, which is probably more expensive than you would buy if you bought it privately, because I bought it from the park. It's like the difference between buying a car from a you know, from a showroom or buying it from somebody privately. And the second one cost 35,000. And the second caravan is newer and it has got double glazing and it's got central heating, gas central heating with, you know, so it's a lot cozier and warmer in the cooler months.
I see. And you didn't have to do any kind of renovations in that, aside from what did you tell me about electricity and water connections from the park?
Yeah, they do all of that for you.
So. Okay, that's great. So you didn't spend that much, I guess. Do you think you're going to be able to get a good return on investment with your renovations?
Yeah, I guess eventually, if I take into account the purchase price, the plan is to get a return on investment. It's probably not the best return on investment, but what you do get is a solid kind of cash flow income, you mm-hmm. know? We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay, I hope it goes great, though. How much do you say is your cash flow going against your expenses? Do you have many expenses there?
So initially I've bought lots of, so they give you duvets, but I've bought new duvets because I wanted bigger, like king size duvets. I've bought lots mm-hmm. of bedding and towels and, you know, like other soft furnishings to make it cozier, like cushions. And I buy tea and coffee and biscuits for my guests and, you know, cooking oil and salt and pepper and things like that. So I've spent lots of money initially on that sort of thing, probably. And we installed Wi-Fi as well, so there was that cost. So there's Wi-Fi in both the caravans. We had to buy the key safe for each of them as well. So yeah, there was quite a lot of what felt like a lot of initial outlay, maybe something like £1,000 or something per caravan, maybe a bit more. Let me see if I have got a list of it all somewhere, but I haven't really added it up yet because there's lots of it. At some point I'll have a look and see, you know, whether I'm when it is. There'll be a time when I feel like I'm going to break even, I'm sure, but that's going to be some years now.
Okay, see. And what do you think are going to be your higher months, like your most busy months?
Well, May was very busy. The problem I have is that I'm taking holiday myself this month and in August. So I don't have anybody staying in the caravans when I'm not here because I want to be the one to go in and make sure everything's okay when they're gone. So ordinarily, I would say June, July, August would be the busiest months. It's the school holidays here in July and August. You know, because it's a good price, we get lots of families come, you know, because there's the swimming pool and there's children's play parks and things like that on the site. You know, it's good for families because it's a reasonable price as well. So.
Mm-hmm. And how much do you plan to raise your price during that season, or do you plan to stay at your rate?
No, that's when I put it up a little bit. So on the first caravan, I might have put it up to £70 a night in the real peak season. On the second caravan, because it's a nicer caravan, the rate starts at £55 and it goes up to £100 a night in the peak season.
And are your rates comparable to the other rentals in the camp?
Yeah, I think so. There are some other rentals, but they're bigger than mine and mm-hmm. more extravagant than mine. And so they obviously charge more. There is somebody there has a caravan that's similar to mine and he charges a lot less than me. I think he charges £30 a night for his. Yeah, I think it's kind of average.
Yeah, so you also think your price is good, right? Average comparing to the other ones, given that you also offer like a lot of good amenities, I think it's worth it. Can you tell me a little bit about the challenges that you have so far with, you know, short-term rentals, Airbnb, whatever you think has been more challenging during this time?
So it's not been so bad. I think isn't challenging is that if there is a problem, I've messaged with Airbnb and then they've responded and they've been very helpful. And I know that's not everybody's experience, but yeah, I've not had a problem with them when I've needed something or when my guest has got in touch with me because they're concerned about something before they've even arrived. They've got in touch because they're concerned about something. It's quite easy to go onto the Airbnb site and find the answer to help them. I suppose when it comes to people's reviews, that's a bit of a bone of contention, isn't it? So my caravans, interestingly, I can't believe I haven't mentioned this already, they're all plant-based. So I request that my guests don't bring meat or milk or eggs or fish into the kitchen. And, you know, if they, I'm not saying they have to be a vegan, but they, while they're in my kitchen, they should be vegan. They can eat out, you know, and a lot of people just come and they eat out because there's a, you know, there's a restaurant on the park, so they don't need to use the kitchen. And some people really like that, and they really appreciate it. And I have like eco-friendly things as well. So I have eco-friendly cleaning products in the caravan, and a lot of people, really appreciate that. But I had one guest who, although I'd messaged him to make sure that he was aware well in advance of him arriving about the plant-based kitchen situation, he ignored my message. And then his review was, oh, vegan kitchen, that's a bit weird. And then marked me really low on everything, you know, and there's nothing really I can do about that. So had he marked me in the same way as everyone else has marked me, because I get quite high marks or high, you know, ratings from everybody apart from that one person, my current rating is only 4.7 because of that one person. So that's a bit annoying. And there's nothing really, I'm not going to be bothered to, you know, complain about that, because that's his view if he really wants to give me that rating. And it's not really affecting my bookings. So, you know, anybody with any kind of sense will look at his review and think, well, he just didn't read the listing.
I also saw the little advert, like, how do you say this? The little thing that indicates that your kitchen was plant-based. But I didn't ask about it because I just forgot. I didn't thought that was like a rule. Can you explain a little bit more about it? That's very interesting.
So because it's my kitchen, and it started because we lived in the caravan for a few months before we rented it, the first caravan. And because we're vegan, I thought, I don't really want to be cleaning up, you know, the people's meat and whatever that they cooked in the caravan. I also believe that, you know, with the world would be a lot better if people didn't eat meat and eggs and milk in so many ways. I'm not going to go into it because I have this conversation a lot. So I would prefer, you know, if the whole world didn't eat meat or milk or eggs, but I have control over my caravan to a certain extent. Obviously, I can't really control what people do in there, but if I request they, you know, eat plant-based while they're there, most people comply with that because they tend to ask me questions about it when they're booking. It's clear to me that some people don't follow those rules, but I don't, you know, I don't mark them down particularly for that because I'm not a horrible person. Basically, you know, if otherwise they've kept the place clean and tidy and, you know, tidied up after themselves and everything was fine, then yeah, if they don't want to follow that rule, I can't really stop them.
I fully understand, and I think it's really something that for me would be really easy to respect if you don't want that. I don't see what other people can't do it, but I kind of understand that there are some people that are not going to respect it and are going to be a little bit harsh about it, right?
Well, some people get angry about it, actually. They get very angry about it. I did, when I realized that I hadn't made it very clear, I sent messages to everybody that had booked, and I said, I'm really, really sorry, it wasn't clear about this rule. You may have missed it. You know, I'm very happy if you want to cancel because of it, you'll get a full refund. And probably half of my bookings cancelled because of it at the time. They all got booked up again, you know, so I didn't actually lose anything from it. It felt bad at the time, you know, because everyone read my message and they were like, what, I'm not allowed to bring milk? And I'm like, no, I'd rather you didn't. So lots of people cancelled, but then, yeah, lots of people were fine with it. And so it's actually fine.
Now, you included in your set of rules, like the first date said you sent you the guest when they're first booked.
I don't send them the message, but it's in every paragraph in the listing, pretty much. And it's in the house rules as well. So, you know, I want to make a big thing of it, but I don't want to make a big thing of it. So that's why I don't really get annoyed if it's obvious that people have cooked meat in there. That's only happened once. You know, I've had like 22 bookings and only once have I noticed, you know, that people have cooked meat in there. I'm not going to because I haven't, you know, explicitly messaged them and said, by the way, don't eat meat in my caravan, I can't really complain, I suppose.
I've, like, a year ago, I saw, like, a post on Facebook. A person was renting her own house, and she was vegan, and she personally requested everyone to not cook meat in her kitchen, you know, because it was the same pans and what she used. And all the comments were really harsh about it. How do you think you can, with your kitchen, you know, with your plant-based kitchen, bring awareness to people, right?
I think there should be a category on Airbnb, actually. So there's another site, it's called Veg Visits, and they call themselves the vegan Airbnb, but I get no bookings from them at all, because it's very, you know, it's international and it's very niche, and nobody looking for a holiday that's vegan is going to think, oh, I want to spend £40 a night in a caravan in on the Kent coast. So I don't get any bookings through there. But it would be good if there was a way to, like, I don't want to put the word vegan in the name of my holiday home, because I don't want to put people off, you know, you don't have to be vegan to stay here. So I don't want it to be like a really big thing, but it would be good to have a, like, a checkbox or a category or something in Airbnb that would mean that if you were specifically looking for vegan, a vegan place, then it would come up, but it would come up anyway if you were looking for some place, you know, on the Kent coast, reasonably priced.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I actually agree with that. I've seen there's categories for basically everything, so I don't see why there shouldn't be some for vegan, right? Yeah. Should be. Okay. So the last thing I'd like to ask you about, if is there any tips that you'd like to share for other Airbnb hosts or future Airbnb hosts?
I get... when people review me, they say that my place is very, very clean, and I give great attention to detail when I'm cleaning the place, and I use an antiviral spray because of COVID afterwards that smells amazing. It smells like cherries. And so when people open the door, they smell this amazing smell of cherries. And people have actually said, you know, I opened the door and it smelled amazing and just felt really clean. And the other thing is that I'm very responsive on the messages. So people message me a lot before they arrive. Some people don't talk to me at all, that's fine. But if people message me before they arrive with any sort of questions, I go out of my way to find the answer. And people really appreciate that.
Okay, so the two keys would be cleanliness and be responsive to your guests, right?
Yeah. Normal customer service, really.
That's right, but I guess some hosts aren't really aware or prepared for that, especially for the attention you have to give to your guests, right?
Yeah.
Especially for that one. Yeah. So, yeah, that'll be it for today. Thank you a lot for your time. Thank you for telling us about your story, about your journey.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Into the Airbnb. We're looking for hosts and other people in the short-term rental industry to interview. If you have what we need and would like to share your experience in this podcast, please send us an email. All the info is at the end of the description.